This is a production of Cornell University.
The time is 4:46. The rats take their seats. We call the ball in this show on the road. Lots of things to do today. We'll move fast and quick. It's not gonna be here. John, go for it.
Mariah Dega. Salima Ali. Joseph Anderson. Morgan Baker. Paula Benedict. RMA Cass.
Excuse.
Jenna Tripper-Perry.
You chase here.
John Clancy. Osai Garapa, Jacob Fight, Masa Haddad,
here.
Catherine Wong, Lillian Cole, Yifan Lee, Gavin Martin,
right away.
Nick Matolka,
excuse.
Indigo Pavlov, Tomas Rayani. Lucas Smith, Polina Solovieva,
excused.
Sarah Sun,
coming late.
Noah Watson,
here.
Brian Weintraub, Caribel Landino, Celine Chu, Valentina Chu,
excused.
Jacob Youngblood, Yuhan Yuan.
Great. We'll be moving on to the announcements. That will be the announcement. First announcement. Wash your hands. Again, use hand sanitizer that is about 60% alcohol content when you eat it. And lastly, don't touch your face, mouth, hand, eyes, and stuff like that. I saw someone do it. It was and I have that habit of doing that, so I can really get to work this together with like doctors. Next, we have Julian Indigo, the presentation for us. It's John Clancy. He always says that. Just the type of computer. Oh, sorry, you can say your announcement as they're getting it set up.
Yeah, so based on the results of the our first meeting will be tomorrow.
Thank you. Osa, who is in this working group and what are y'all doing?
Secondly,
Jacob is on it. Thank you. Where's the link? We do have spring on Sunday. Same place, same time. Yes, Lydia is an update about our elections.
Yeah, I just want to quickly update you guys on which races are uncontested. College of Arts and Sciences representative, College of Art, Architecture, Art and Planning representative, College of Human Ecology representative, LGBTQIA students liaison at large, minority students liaison at large, and undergraduate representative. We still need to fill one seat for minority students liaison at large and one for undergraduate representative. So it's up to you guys.
Yeah. Sometimes, depending on like, the seats and stuff, depending on the quantity of seats that still are completed, you have an election after the election. Other times, when we see it as kind of like, there's a little bit more seats in an hour, like, depending on that, there's something really for it to fall. So, always a decision. No. Okay, it's warming up. Yeah, let's do that. All right, we'll do 45 minutes.
So, to make an amendment to this
So what do you want the title change to? Amending the student assembly budget.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the motion. Is there a second? There's no second. All in favor of that amendment, please raise your hand or placard. All opposed, all abstained by a vote of 20-0-1. And that amendment, John, is changing the title to amending the student assembly budget. Any questions or comments from Mariah? Since it has to be during the business of the day, what we'll do, we'll just do the votes at the same time. It just will be the two-third threshold of the vote. So we'll do a motion to vote on this. Two-thirds is the threshold because of how we need to do it. All in favor of this resolution, please raise your hand to placard. All opposed, all abstained by a vote of 20-0-1. It's been into the business of the day, and then that's approved. Perfect. Should we do that?
Hi everybody. We are going to give you a brief background on cost of COVID investment, focus on the history of the issue in the past couple of years and the criteria that we're going to be using to try and convince us to use two different fossil fuels, and then the steps that we're going to take in the next couple of days and weeks to try and achieve that. So people have been working on fossil fuel investment for decades. Bob Howard, who is working on this in the Senate, an advocate of hospital divestment for, it's like 15 years, he's been working on that. And most recently, we saw an attempt at hospital divestment in 2016 school year, and after all, assemblies, there were guests on legislation to the board of trustees, they were no. But in the wake of that decision, there were these three criteria for divestment to be used for good decisions. Those three criteria are that the company or field that you're divesting from is morally reprehensible, and either our divestiture will have impact or it's correcting the identified wrong, or the field or company is inconsistent with the goals and principles of the university. And the fourth criteria is finance, because even though the business didn't list that in the statement, they released that in the 2015 decision. That's been pretty important to the discussion that's been going on in the administration and among students about hospital divestment. So I think it's important to address it in our divestment efforts.
So our resolution aims to address all four of these criteria. I would prefer to be more on this one. Did the fossil fuel industry make the exact kind of robust contribution to climate change? I'm not that exploits the cause of the mass extinction. Secondly, climate change also threatens to displace populations and create a new generation of environmental refugees. So the effects of these imminent disruptions to follow global geopolitical dynamics. And lastly, the overwhelming amount death, suffering, and disrupting that climate change that is to cause this inherent change.
So I think just to like nail down on the argument, like it is almost undisputable at this point in time that fossil fuels are emitting levels of CO2 that are contributing robustly to ocean and global atmospheric temperatures. And that those changes in global temperature are going to have a pretty significant impact on the climate. So, to look at this in like a pretty like bare bones model framework, like, if contributing to a phenomenon that threatens the survival of the human race is more reprehensible, if the fossil fuel industry does that, they are more reprehensible since they do it.
So I'm not going to read any more language from the resolution because you guys will be able to look at that more in depth next week. Pretty much one of the main things that we've heard is like, well, what impact does it have on other people and why are they stopping? Is that a symbolic impact? But no, it actually will have a meaningful impact. First, we'll be stigmatizing the fossil fuel industry. We'll be catalyzing the domino effect so that other universities and common communities will also be applied to divest. And we'll be reinvesting our funds in sustainable and good impact investments, which will also catalyze sustainable industries to be able to develop their science, moving us towards a more just and renewable society.
Also, using a more empirical side of the meaningful impact argument, there are good empirical studies conducted stock performance in the industry and looking at different metrics. And there almost certainly is a negative, downturn in stock price after meaningful impact. So there is a meaningful impact
on
the strategy.
On top of that, aside from actually moving towards sustainable resources, found over the past decade, impact investments have been outperforming the S&P like dramatically. So we'll also have a meaningful impact on our endowment and returns.
And so the third criteria is ultimate to the university. I think we all know Cornell is a big component of environmentalism and sustainability. It's even been the opposite of the president's core value statements. Respect for the natural environment. We value our role in advancing solutions for a sustainable future, and we recognize the close relationship between people and the earth. So, I mean, I don't think there's any more to say there. And I think I mentioned earlier about the finances of meaningful impact of investors here. Like a lot of reputable sources in the finance industry have said that there's going to be a shift toward renewables in the energy market in the coming years. And even the past couple years, we've seen renewables outperforming oil and gas shares by a lot. So those who would like to say that divesting will negatively impact our environment don't seem to have grappled much with the data.
So where do we go from here? Julian and I have been working along with faculty to pass the same resolution format through all five assemblies. So next week on March 12th, we will be presenting our resolution to you all. And then once we pass that, it will be moved to the Board of Trustees meeting, which will be the week after. And then their investment committee will have a decision to review our request and the white paper and everything and decide if they will this month and some possibilities. And that vote is final.
This was a very brief discussion of fossil fuel divestment. And we're planning on passing the resolution next week. We expect a more robust discussion of our motivations for wanting to divest and the impacts of divesting. So stay tuned, get excited. Thank you. Hey, thank you. That's it for me.
We're now going to open the microphone. If any members of the
community
wish to speak, please come to the table.
We're going to
close the microphone.
We're moving to Resolution 46. Adi's not here, so I can do it. So this is pretty straightforward. It's saying that the student assembly is going to formally join a national coalition called the Today Students Coalition. This is a group out of Washington, D.C. that helps bring large student organizations, student government, student systems together to advocate for the inclusion and a greater accessibility for students in higher education. Very simple, but I think it's really going to help the Office of Student Government Relations to understand the impact at the federal level, understand the most impact at the federal level. Maybe the first Ivy League to do so, the first Ivy League with this kind of concept overall. So I think it's pretty cool, but yeah, super simple.
Does it need to do this today? Second. All right. All in favor? Yes, John.
Can you please repeat what that motion was? So, motion to suspend the rules to allow a motion to vote to be a move to Texas today, which is a 2/3 threshold.
Okay. Can you please
get all
in favor? Who passes? All right.
No, you need to vote.
Me?
Yes.
1, 2, 3. Did you vote to Joe? Okay, 9-0, we accept. In abstentions, 9-0-2, which is this, which is passes. Which is the vote? All right. Is there a second? Second. Okay. All of you. Oh, sorry. Thank you. There's a ladybug that was crawling on my hand, and it goes.
Resolution 47.
So while John is making the presentation, just for some background about what this is, last year I transferred to Cornell, University of Virginia.
I transferred in last semester.
So last year I joined the SA as the transfer rep. I know it's our current transfer rep right now. One of the issues that I was looking to bring up is that housing is just like not good here, especially for transfer students and first year students. Actually, first year students are rented housing, but transfer students to the lowest income students are rented housing. This resolution and presentation we're going to give you guys gives some more information about the state of housing, especially for transfer students. And we'll also ultimately propose a solution to the fact that transfers are different from housing. Thank you, John. Okay, just for some quick background, transfer students were historically rented housing because it only makes sense for transfer students who don't know what the situation is like. As of fall 2016, the decision was made to stop giving to the transfer students housing. That's because people had realized that the university wasn't actually following through on their promises to give transfer students housing. They just started kind of saying, when you come here, you go here to your housing, but that wasn't actually the case. So they made a decision to formally move that in general. That has been incredibly harmful to so many first year students. Transfer students really struggle.
Yeah, just for some stats, so 2018 there were 645 transfer students enrolling at Cornell in the fall. Of those 645, 637 applied for on campus housing, and 456 actually received assignments on campus. That left over 200 students stranded in housing. And we're looking to think why this is a problem.
So for these students who weren't able to get any kind of housing, it forced them to find frontline housing over the summer. At the same time as they're trying to like adjust to like ideas of a new community from that. So the first thing about campus housing, for anyone who's tried to find out campus housing, you already know how competitive the housing market is. It's ridiculous. And the leases and the expenses are crazy. So this means that students who have never been to Cornell, never been to Ithaca, are forced to try to like navigate this kind of space.
So far what we've done to raise awareness.
So last year at this panel, which I recognize as transfer rep, we had students share their very personal stories. I'll often talk about how the building of housing can actually create a problems for them because of the isolation, the pressure. Yeah, like we have personal experiences here that I said with that. And also, like, the son has more stories about it. This is an incredibly important issue that the university has yet to deal with. So, in our work with the administration of the SA, since they came here to Cornell, we have met with Mr. Barty, as he's the director of campus life, which contains housing. And we've also been able to meet with the director of housing, Tim Blair, who served this position this year. We've begun this conversation about them, about children housing. I think last year, when I first came to Cornell, I had this conversation with them. The reason this resolution is coming now is because I recently met with them again to ask them about updates for transfer housing. And when I met with them, they have not actually continued to do any work with that, despite the fact that they told me they were coming to and have worked with them for so long. That's why we're doing this right now. They've told me before that, like, if I told them that transfer students need housing, they still set that priority when it comes to North Campus expansion, will be given to freshmen and sophomores, which can guarantee all sophomores housing. And transfer is still being left out of that. That should not be the case. Transfer for first year students, we should be, in the housing master plan for North Campus expansion, which was published in 2016, Vice President Lombardi stated that his goal was to make housing for transfer students a high priority and then possibly repurpose into housing guarantee. That's not been the case.
So everybody knows there is the North Campus Centers of Expansion project going on right now. This project will create approximately 2,000 more beds, and it consists of two sites. So once it exclusively, that will be 8 beds, and that will be in the fall of 2021. And the next site is for freshmen, and that will be in the fall of 2022, and that will create approximately 1,200 beds.
So our plan that we're coming with you guys today is resolution number 47, which will hopefully guarantee students housing. Our plan is that when the site is built in 2021, because they're opening up 800 more beds, that should be enough to guarantee all students having rooms for now. We want to make sure that the university follows through their commitment to guarantee students housing and actually implement this into their policy that they will commit to getting students housing.
Our steps forward. The first one we want to do is unanimously pass our resolution. So within our resolution, it talks about what we're allowed to do within our charter. If you guys look at CCP, it talks about how we have legislative authority and also the authority of students. So and also we want to work with the housing policy review committee. To make sure that housing can be transmitted to action centralized, because that's a big one.
Our charter power does include like all the CEO activities, which includes housing, and it's previously, in my opinion, very, very nice tool, and we have so much jurisdiction in this area, I think it's a lot really big change. So, along with Resolution 47, there we go. So, beyond this, step 34 after this resolution is passed in the U.S. We're going to continue meeting with administration to work out the housing policies, whether it's transition to the city or west, south campus, what that kind of dispersion is going to look like, and how the best outcomes first year experience. If I can also share a personal story, one of my best friends and I transitioned into Cornell, his name is Connor, and I transitioned from the Council College in Minnesota. By the end of the first semester, he had already applied to transfer out of Cornell, and that was here. So he is back at Cornell because his living situation at Cornell was so difficult. Offered any kind of housing. He was forced to find off-campus housing half a mile from campus with a bunch of grad students. He described the experience as incredibly isolating, the creation, and like literally like the cause of like mental health problems that come out. And this is why I do what I do, because you hear students for students literally transferring back out of Cornell after committing to come here. That should never be the case. Like, Cornell has a plan to make all students feel comfortable. We're going to continue to receive feedback on housing with the Housing Policy Committee. For instance, today I met with the president of the Cornell Graduate Association to talk about housing because there are a ton of other students who are transit students. And part of the stipulation to the GI Bill is that it doesn't cover all campus housing. So if we are going to guarantee transit students housing on campus, that means they're not going to use the GI Bill for that. That's why we've included in the resolution just the fact that if you do choose, I think it's in the resolution, if not, it's also just part of the university policy that transfer students are allowed to opt out of on-campus housing. So the goal of the resolution is that if transfer students apply to get housing, which most of them do, they would be able to get housing because they do not need it, they do not wish to do it because of the efficiency of the transgender students, and that would not be the case.
Yes. Thank you guys, and thank you for the questions.
Thank you guys for bringing this. A couple questions. One, I don't know a lot about this question. It seems like it's pretty standard that at least a fair amount of other cities tend to guarantee housing. And also, I mean, is it an issue? Is it an issue that, like, it seems like what this means is basically the university is getting more people being transferred than to house. Have they said anything about that? Because that seems like kind of a weird, unsustainable policy to have in getting more people.
Yeah, thank you for the question, Amy. So actually, I have okay.
Okay. And they told me that actually. They have been taking less transfer students and freshman students in the same year, so the numbers that they gave you 6.5 and that's to account for the flat events. And they're going to be really funding the campus and how they just because they want to offer as much money to people on their campus and also the back and home students.
Also, just quite a little bit of, also more context to what you already said. When I met with like some people who work in cancer positive, and they said that the reason that they have the transfer program or the transfer offer program for our state schools is because of the lack of housing. They know they don't have enough space in the freshman dorms for all students, but they still want to enroll more students. So that's why they offer the transfer option to attract more students, because they know they want to be
right, it's a kind of a big problem because a lot of people come here,
just a point of information, I had a conversation with the director of the Empire of the Shabbat last year. And I told him I don't know the exact number, but we're actually planning on raising another question that he knew. And I told him that he's going to be focused on the big question. That's not my problem. But basically, they have to increase the number of people that are getting because of the message. I'm not sure that's also part of the research.
Thank you for your question. That's really valid. The fact that I've been listening for a year and a half, and it's finally gotten to this now is because you know, we're wanting to be in place. I'm really happy that it's happening now because I had a meeting with Vice President Lombardo tomorrow to discuss future plans. I think in our resolution, we say that this will go into effect in 2021 once the first study is built, and then from there on, it's going to be possible. That's the point.
Oh, sorry.
So I do not think you guys are aware of this, but you can make that possible part. This is pretty good. Is this good? All right. The housing market is crazy, and I just wanted to say that.
Enrollment, yes, it's really tricky. I think we can definitely continue to work on this in area. And also, to Tomas's point, I did meet last year with the interim vice president of enrollment to talk about this. He said the numbers are actually shifting because at the time that I met with him, he said, yeah, I think we're going to try to admit like the Northland expansion, Iowa, had 2,000 beds total, 1,200 would be reserved for freshmen, and 800 for sophomores and transfers. Because we're increasing the freshman enrollment, but then he said that the numbers are actually going up as much as we think. Like we shifted it to like only increasing freshman by 700 out of the
1,500. Yeah, just another part of the issue. Part of the issue is that it's hard to follow back with the same years. Basically, more people have accepted acceptance offers than previous years, so we've had that.
Who is supporting this resolution? I said that one, so I'll ask.
I think it's a great resolution in its ideal form. I'm just not 100% certain as to whether or not we put this policy in place. And then the administration says, okay, we're going to guarantee all connected students and housing, and therefore they're going to cut the amount of connected students, except just to ensure that the housing plan is supposed to be raising in order to the ideal point that they would like to, but they can't necessarily house that.
Awesome. Thank you for that comment. I think that's a really important thing to keep in mind as we continue to move forward. That's going to be part of something we discuss with the Vice President of Reporting tomorrow, and also we're going to continue to have meetings with the Vice President involved to discuss this. I think what's exciting is that we have a new Vice President this year, so like he's very open to working with ideas, and this is something that I enjoy. Because you don't want transfer enrollment to go down. Transfer students are really, they add so much onto this campus. Raising up your transfer, means. Yeah, so if we're here, we're doing this. This is what happened.
Hi, thank you, Pat and Noah. I just want to share my experience with class this year. I'm an international class this year, and thankfully, I graduated from college at a U.S. university. I was more familiar with the country, so I transferred. But if you're an international student, you have to be a good class, stranded on campus, the situation would be absolutely.
So,
I
would urge
you all to vote for
this resolution. Thank you. Thank you. There's been much, but it's exciting. I'll pay for this resolution.
Can you post a program?
Sure. Okay, I'll pay for the roll call vote. Please raise your hand and placard. All opposed. By all abstaining, by a vote of 17-3-1, we'll be doing a roll call vote. John, can you please read the roll?
Mariah Adin. Salima Ali. Joseph Anderson.
Yeah.
Morgan Baker.
Yeah.
Is Colin here? Jeremy Katz. Jenna Chokopere.
Yes.
John Clancy.
Yeah.
Osiah Garba.
Yes.
Jacob Fite.
Yes.
Lassa Ladat.
Yeah.
Catherine Huang. William Cole.
Yeah.
Yifan Li.
Yeah.
Gavin Martin.
Yes.
Indigo Patel.
Yes.
Lucas Smith.
Yes.
Is Samson
here? Yeah.
Noah Watson.
Yes.
Ryan Weintraub. Kirabel Wangima. Celine Shu. Jacob Youngblood.
Yes.
Yuhan Wang.
Yes.
What's the final vote, John?
Final vote is 23 yes, 0 no, 0 abstentions.
Thanks, John. Resolution 48. Go for it.
Hi everyone. So as most of you know, I'm also a student athlete this semester and taking courses. Something that we've not seen in the past year is that there's a large intersection between financial aid and mental health students. But if a student is withdrawn from the university for any reason, there are services that suspend them. So what that means is that if you get withdrawn from or for another reason, you can't go use your mental health services with the established relationship you have with any mental health counselors. Even though frequently we have an issue with financial aid, it can actually cause a lot of
those medical issues to become worse. So the purpose of this resolution is to give a grace period to the students of 1 month so that they're able to find new counseling services and so that their mental health are able to deal with the situation that is coming to them in a way that's not that or is less dangerous to them. This is, in my opinion, this is a small request that can have a huge impact.
So our speaker's list, Brian.
Hey there. Yeah, I think this is awesome. Have we spoken to the administration, like, did they seem on board? Is this, like, kind of thing that seems like it should happen? Or it's sort of, we just had the idea, it's a great idea, and we just want to, this is sort of the beginning of that.
I would say it's more the latter. I haven't spoken to anyone in the administration about that.
Take your bite. Okay, second. All in favor of this resolution, please raise your hand or clap. All opposed, all abstaining. By a vote 21-0-1, this resolution passes. We'll be moving on to resolution 49. That's the trade roster.
Before this resolution goes to the floor for a technicality of elementary procedure, there needs to be a motion in the form of a discharge petition. So quickly, and I'm asking for a motion at 14 votes to the next floor resolution to be here. Yes, so this did it go through a committee, and this is just because it's executive committee, except for now. There's nothing to write about that. Okay.
All opposed, all standing. By a vote of 21-0-1. D will consider that. Go for it.
Everybody. So yes, this resolution basically is going to be the amendment to resolution 7, which established the Office of Advocate bylaws. So this resolution is intended to create a director of international student affairs and national student issues. But so basically the Office of Student Affairs has stakeholders that are dealing with issues. Financial aid problems, residency concerns, discrimination, harassment,
any questions or comments? Let's go a second. Oh, there's a question. Brian, yeah. Thanks. Eric?
Yes. Thank you for this resolution. And I really appreciate your work.
As an international student who has seen the Office of Global Learning multiple times, it was a bunch of people who were telling me what to do and who did not understand that at all. My CPT, they gave it to me like incorrectly. If I left the campus without my CPT correctly and I left the country, I would have gone back in. Instead of watching the CPT, instead of watching the
tired. It was the end of the semester. I was so tired of finding myself. I had not done shit from housing. And then I go to the Office of Global Learning, which is supposed to be the resource for me. And they gave me that. Like, it was just not acceptable. And I feel like if I had the Office of Student Activity,
So, like, because I have to actually come up with that and reach out to me for like the only work I have to do is to get because that kind of feature is different than the capacity of the future. Like, I have to do the other features, and for the international students, I know that you guys can know the case of the international office. So, maybe if you create that office, I do face a lot of issues. So if you want to solve it, it should be like how to improve that. I think that's the step you need to solve it. And that's the next thing I'm going to do. You should focus more on the issue and put all the time to do this one. It's so specific. I think it's such a big issue. I think now you should put more like
clarify anything that you misconception about the Office of Student Advocate. We in no way would be trying to replace the Office of Global Learning or tell students things that they can go to the Office of Global Learning to learn about. It's more like a virtual connection between these offices, and then also from having the Office of Student Advocate within the semester, I think what we've noticed is that we have an established connection already with the leaders of various administrative offices around campus. It's easier sometimes to get a response and also to have a better understanding of the rules so that if it can happen, like Moss is saying, there's an understanding of how to kind of like correct how that happened and do it in a more efficient way, which Moss will be doing it on our own. So I just wanted to.
Thank you. Tomas.
Yeah, I just want to say, like, my understanding of what the student has is when the administrative office is going out with the new and you be a student. So it's not like, oh, you're going to have a student have a different issues as well. Like, it's not a lot of people supposed to, it should be. It's not replacing anything. It's a trend that we also have to exist, but certainly not just supposed
to. Jacob, fine. Yeah, so yeah, I just saw this with the show today, and I'm thinking about maybe people's resolution, and maybe my suggestion is to talk to this topic and maybe just the resolution. So my motion is to go to the resolution to start this.
I've been rushing the table, is there a second? Second? Okay, so we don't have to, was there a second though? So no second. So there is a second now, okay. Let's switch to second.
Just one add,
that's not the sentence. No, that's not the sentence of the motion table. Right? That's just your disapproval of the resolution. Thank you. So I'll be moving into a vote to table. Tabling this resolution until next week, which is ready to fire.
I mean, personally, no.
Okay. Thank you. We're going to move into the vote. Thank you. Yes. So that's your dissent to the vote. Okay. Thank you.
no personal clarifications. All in favor of taking with these raise your hand or partner. Seven. All opposed? All abstaining? Yeah, all abstaining. Thank you. By a vote of 7 to 12 to 3, the motion to table was rejected. We'll continue into conversation on the resolution. There's been a motion to vote. Is there a second? It's been a second. Thank you for your consent. We'll be moving into a vote to vote. You might have dissented. So all in favor of moving into a vote on this resolution, please raise your hand or placard. All opposed. All abstaining. Yes, that's why we're in a vote to vote. Yuhan dissented. He dissented to the vote, to the motion to vote. Therefore, that is why we're in a vote to vote. The vote to vote total was 23-1. So now we'll be moving to voting on this resolution. Yes. No, I'm good. Keep up. So we're going to vote. All in favor of this resolution, please raise your hand or placard. Everyone know what we're doing. This is vote to approve the resolution. Okay. All opposed? All abstaining? By a vote of 19-1-3, this resolution passes. Congratulations. We'll be moving on to the next resolution. Resolution 50.
Resolution 50 is requesting the establishment of the Board of University Committee for Bonneville Public Schools. So, the purpose of Bonneville Public Schools is to provide recommendations to the an oversight committee will be used to provide oversight, guidance, direction, and facilitate communications involving communities. And one thing that I want to make very clear is that this committee is not necessarily a Christian university process. To work collaboratively. Another thing that I want to make is you see a lot of different institutions as well as the students, being exited, you know, they're subjected to the same type of harassment or discrimination that they experience anywhere else, and especially when reporting those countries, that's just something that should happen. And so I want to have it to where it's not just me, it will also be staff, city members, committee as well. Function as an advisory board, issues and concerns involved with the university department, provide input on initiatives to enhance campus safety, promote and support public awareness of universities and services and programs, advise and make recommendations to the university concerning education and services community, to be briefed on all use of course incidents, to do something that is to be citations issued. So it doesn't need from the university community and institutions. And lastly, review the training practices and policies.
Okay, thank you. I took one of the speakers list. All right,
man. Hi, thank you for bringing this. I think it's a really good idea. I was just wondering if you could speak to what our experiences we've heard with people that try to use the existing tools.
I think the board practices with the understanding that not every experience are running with CPD thinking, but negative experiences often stem from the fact that police and police systems as institutions are society. So we can talk about outreach based encounters, including marijuana. We've heard students who have been called certain names by the police, right? And some of those also overlap with the police, but that's also the community who's starting to take it.
Thank you. Here we go.
I want to hear a bit more about the structure of the reports on the chief one. Also, so.
Yeah, so, you know, we have a vision to
take a fight.
Yeah, I think that this is absolutely fantastic. I just have one question. Due to that, as we need to get a separate assembly by definition, President Abbott and members on, would we also need to pass for you guys to pass, especially if they were passed in the sort of thing?
Yeah, so eventually,
just one more question I have for you. Do you happen by any chance to know perhaps the number of breakers that would be on the active community?
I was having a lot of trouble getting access to
John Clancy.
Thank you for this resolution. I just have a question. So, in terms of other communities that are how is this community currently on those communities? Certain aspects such as like allocation of students,
Brown, it has the best examples, so
they have employee 84 faculty sitting on that committee, and they also have reserved seats for their program for the classroom community that they're being seen. So I guess it's a good sense that we're asking for people because we understand that it's going to be but otherwise, competition is very good.
Sorry.
Thank you for this resolution. I'm going to support it. I'm wondering what are the plans to make sure that people are aware of these resources and that they utilize them, and then what are the plans to make it like a long term?
All right. So with that, I mean, it's really just about.
I also think it's something that we can make our RNA aware of so that they can let their residents in situations like this. Some people might think their RNA and some people should have their RNA at the university. So
Lucas?
Thank you guys, definitely. Just curious from the vision, what's the vision for the community and talking about the police department on it?
So I guess like what I brought up earlier with the department is that some students have RNA and not just the seat, but also with the police department. So if it's a police department, but also a lot of like negative reputation that's in the department. I guess it's like also there are some things that the police department. I guess immediately in my mind, if there's such a dire need to reach out, right? But I would not.
That's just important information that people do have any concerns about the community for the various cities or the chance of the local election.
No, I just
Let me take a bite.
Yeah, so one more question. I have definitely one. Residential buildings on campus, and that's discussed before. Using residences on campus specifically, we talk about diversity housing, which actually has some serious problems. But the data to ensure that our days are being housed at the same hope that, and furthermore, as a member who an individual who's not a member of a group on campus who is maybe historically. I'm just curious as to whether or not it may be beneficial to have an officer on the committee. I think just to bridge that dialogue on behalf, so there is some sort of communication. I'm not sure what you guys think about that. The other question was regards to housing it's diverse about representatives and people have seen on
this. Yeah, so for sure. I'm not having to
One other thing, just to take this one, but maybe get someone who wants to see the area to get the best sort of work. Always love what I see. Sarah Slide.
How would it feel about making this a branch of the Office of the Student Advocate? Because that would simply have to run into the student advocate.
So the student does have an achievement. There's a lot of people in that office who are taking
decisions. Yes.
It might, just considering that, this, so this is a one-year committee. And, well, if we want to, oh, like, if we want to continue to pass it, pass it, then it comes up.
Well, I think the issue is that that's not really the role of the student advocate, but the student advocate's job is to like help you to resources or help you in accessing those resources, not to be like an investigative officer. So that's why in having a member of that student advocate, he does make some of the direct link if they have a student advocate. Hey, we're going to refer you right here. I'm actually, let's say, I'm going to refer you but I think that's just not what the purpose of the student advocate is.
Right. Just one thing with the student advocate, we just need to be careful with this. I don't think student advocate has a certain amount of privilege on all the It's not if there are students that have trouble with this, right? Just they're going to feel that different. But that idea, so we just want to make sure that doesn't have that people don't think that get students to do the wrong thing. There's no one left on the speaker's list. All right, I'm going to do one of the motion voters that. There's no motion voters that second. Maybe second will be voted on paper. Let's return it to five. All opposed. Standing by a vote of 20 to 31, this resolution passes. Next, resolution 51.
Right?
Yeah, there's no number on it, but it's 51.
So this is the internal warning central assault sexual harassment by abuse and also And sexual
Thank you. This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.